First of all, let me thank each one of you for making my stay with you so very pleasant. It's been a pleasant day. And I appreciate your kindness so much, your thoughtfulness, like you've always been. When I've come to this area, regardless of where it was, you've always treated me with such blessings that I don't have vocabulary to describe this evening. And when Brother Paul, my good friend, led that old song, "Ye Pilgrims of Zion, Chosen of God," somehow or another I was stirred to take a trip back in time. And I do that a lot. I like to look back because I like to remember things. That's good for us. If we don't remember where we've come from, we'll never have a real good idea about where we're going. But I'm thankful. My wife had an aunt that was a great lady. She taught school all of her life, was never married, and was what I called a double-barrel Methodist. She was very devout in her faith. And she had money stacked up everywhere and was too stingy to spend it. She lived like a pauper and could have bought the White House had she wanted to. There's an old house where she was raised, and she built a new house back up in the back there. And one day I was riding around and I said, "Aunt Ethel," I said, "why don't you tear that old house down? It's the chimney's falling down and the cracks in the wall, it looks terrible." I said, "It's just a real eyesore, and you with that new home back up there." She said, "Ricky, every time I pass it, it helps me remember where I've come from."
Amen.
Amen.
That's right.
We need to never forget or lose sight where we've come from.
Right. Yeah.
What we've been given and how blessed we are to have fellowship with one with another. My good friend, Brother Abernathy, prayed the most sweet and humble prayer. And I need your fellowship. I've had that today with you, all of you, on one occasion or another. But greater than one another's fellowship, let's not forget we need the fellowship of God.
Amen.
It's vital to our worship. It's vital to our lives as children of God to have fellowship with God. Amen. And I'm thankful tonight that I've been able to experience that while I've been here. And I want to thank you in the most gracious way that I can. Tonight I want to call your attention to a very familiar scripture to you Bible readers. I want to call your attention to Matthew chapter 16. Matthew 16 brings a number of things to our mind, and I don't have time to go into all of it, and wouldn't try to, it wouldn't be prudent. But I want you to start with me in chapter 16 and verse 1. The Pharisees also with the Sadducees came, and tempting, desired him that he would show them a sign from heaven. Now I mentioned something about this last night. And I got so carried away in another way that I don't know whether I said any more about it or not, really. But I want you to notice the terminology that is used here. They came tempting him. Now, the Pharisees and the Sadducees were both religious sects in the day of Jesus. The Pharisees confessed angel spirits and the resurrection of the dead, and yet they were unbelievers in the person of Jesus Christ. The Sadducees denied the resurrection of the dead, and they were another religious body in that day. There were scribes and there were Pharisees, and there were about five sects of religion in that day that stood out prominently during the personal ministry of the Lord Jesus. And in this particular chapter, the Bible says this, then Jesus, verse 6, then Jesus said to them, that is, these people that were there, his disciples more particular, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. That is, he was telling them to beware of their doctrine.
Right, right.
To beware of their doctrine. Now, folks, I want to tell you something tonight. Everybody gets up in this pulpit and calls himself a primitive Baptist. Don't you think everything he says parachuted down from heaven?
Right.
You hear me? Now, I'll not charge you for that. But we've had those come among us that deceive the hearts of the simple.
Yeah.
And they passed on and the church went on. But that be as it may, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, but they didn't put the pieces of that puzzle together. You know, my wife was in the hospital 5-6 years ago and had some serious health problems, and I had to stay with her all night one night, and I never been much at putting a puzzle together, but somebody left one out there, and it was way about midnight or after, and there was a puzzle all about half put together, and so I got to looking at the picture on the box, and that's the way I have to do, look at the picture on the box, and then I start putting pieces together. And finally, I got it all put together, Brother Paul, but I lacked one piece. And I twisted it and turned it and twisted it and turned it, and I couldn't get it. It almost fit, but it wasn't the right piece. And finally, I got aggravated, and I just shoved it down in there just like that. Now, the point I'm making is there's at least two pieces of that puzzle out of place. At least two pieces of that puzzle out of place. And these disciples had a hard time putting the pieces of this puzzle together. They reasoned among themselves, saying, it is because we have taken no bread. That's how far off base they were. Which when Jesus perceived, he said to them, O ye of little faith, why reason ye among yourselves because ye have brought no bread? Do you not yet understand, neither remember the 5 loaves of the 5,000 and how many baskets ye took up, neither the 7 loaves of the 4,000 and how many baskets ye took up? How is it that you do not understand that I spake it not to you concerning bread? Literal bread, that ye should beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. Then understood they how that he bade them not beware of the leaven of bread, but of the doctrine.
Yeah.
You see what he's saying?
Yes.
Beware of their doctrine. Leaven is always associated with doctrine. When Jesus taught him, then understood they how that he bade them not beware of the bread, But beware of the doctrine that these folks brought. Now, when Jesus came to the coast of Caesarea Philippi, this is my text. When Jesus came to the coast of Caesarea Philippi, now remember, let me give you a little geography lesson now. About 25 miles from the coast lays a little place called Caesarea Philippi. It had springs there. It was a delightful place, but it was a place where heathen gods was. It was a place where they worship in a heathenistic point. Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, and he asked his disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" That is, what is public opinion about me?
Right.
We hear that all the time, don't we, about public opinion folks. I get sick of it. Amen.
Amen.
I like it was in my favor. But it's not always is. But Jesus said this in language we can relate to. "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" Well, let's see what they said. They said, some say you're John the Baptist. You know what John said? He said, "I'm not him, but I'm sent to bear witness of him."
Right.
"I'm sent to bear witness of him, and he that cometh after me was prepared before me."
Right.
"He must increase, and I must decrease."
Yes, yeah.
What was he saying? I must fade off the scene, and he must come on the scene.
Right.
He must increase, and I must decrease. Not John the Baptist, no. Well, some say Elias or Elijah, raised from the dead. No, not Elias. Not him. And others, Jeremiah, that crying preacher, the weeping prophet, the writer of the book of Jeremiah and the book of Lamentations, when he looked over the city of Jerusalem and said, "How doth the city sit solitary that was once full of people?"
Yeah.
What a damning effect that had on those that were there. Don't let anybody ever tell you the truth don't hurt.
Yeah.
It does. The truth hurts. It really does. If you knew all about me, the Lord knows tonight, you wouldn't come out here to me to preach. And if I knew all about you, the Lord knows, I wouldn't care whether you'd come or not. Amen. That's right. Some of them said Jeremiah. Well, he's not the crying preacher. Or you may be just one of the prophets. On all four counts, public opinion was wrong.
Amen.
All four counts, public opinion missed the mark. But then he saith to them, "But whom say ye that I am?" That's the question.
Yes.
And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ."
Amen.
"The Son of the living God."
Amen.
"Thou art the Christ. You're the one that we've looked for. You're the one that we understood from the prophets that was coming. We believe that you're him. We believe that this man called Christ is who he said he was. The only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth."
Yeah.
Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered Peter with this message: "You're a blessed character. Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, or Simon, son of Jonah, that's what that means. Simon, son of Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven.
Amen.
You know, you'd have to have somebody help you misunderstand that, wouldn't you? Flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. I want to tell you something, my friend. That same principle comes from Genesis to Revelation.
Amen.
Somebody said, how was Abraham born again? Just like Paul was born again.
That's right.
How's an adult born again? Just like the infant's born again. God doesn't have two ways of doing business.
Amen.
It is always by direct operation of the Holy Spirit from God Almighty, who comes to you, who without hope and without God in the world, and reveals himself to you without the means of men, without the doctrines of men, without your permission, if you will. And I'm going to tell you today, my friend, if God needs your permission to do something, we've missed the mark.
Right. Amen.
Man told me one time, he said, Brother Ricky, said, I love you, old Baptist, but I don't believe what you preach. I said, well, what do you believe? He said, I believe the Lord will save you if you'll let him. I said, what if I don't let him? He said, then he'll send you to hell. I said, no, he won't. He said, why? I said, because I won't let him. Do you get that? That'll work just well one way as it will the other. If I can keep him from sending me to heaven, I'm sure God's not going to let him send me to hell, are you? Isn't that the truth? Common sense won't permit that.
Amen.
Common sense won't permit that. But I'm telling you today, when the Lord does a work, when the Lord does a work on the heart of the individual, he instills in that individual another law which men cannot understand nor know apart from the grace of God. The Bible says in Ephesians 2 and 10, for we are what? His workmanship.
Amen.
We're his workmanship. We're the ship that the workman worked on. You know, and it's an unseen workmanship. You know, I wanted to buy a new recliner. And my wife kept wanting me to move my old one out in the garage because it looked so bad. Now look, it may look bad, but it sets good.
Amen.
Because it just sags where I sag, all right? I mean, it really, you know, I mean, I like it. She don't like it, but that doesn't matter. I like it. I'm going to sit in it. You know, I've got it pressed out where it needs to be pressed out and all that. So anyway, I forgot how much they cost, really, Brother Roberts. You know, a good one is expensive. It really is. And I want a good place to sit, so I didn't spare any money. So anyway, I went to buy me one. I kind of backed up when they told me how much it was. And I went by a place in Rainsville, Alabama, just right down below my house, and there was a guy with a truck out there, just had recliners sitting everywhere, all over the corner, and I stopped, and I said, man, this here is a thing. They're about a third of what they're going to cost me over there at another place. And so anyway, I said, put that thing in the back of my truck. So they put it in the truck, and finally I got it home, we got it out, and I got it there. It looked good, man, on the outside. I mean, it was nice. The upholstery was really good. And I got in it, and I'm going to tell you, this is a gospel honest truth. I got in it, and I sit down, I leaned back, and I pulled the handle, and it went on back, just like that. Something broke somewhere. I don't know what it was. And so I finally took it out, got it back in the truck, carried it back down there to the fellow. And I said, look at this, fella. This thing broke all to pieces. He said, well, I just hate to tell you this, but it's poor workmanship. Poor workmanship.
Amen.
I said, it looks good, but he said, it's just on the outside. Brother, I want to tell you something today.
We can fix up on the outside. We can look good on the outside. But I want to tell you, when God does work, bless your heart, it's on the inside.
Amen.
The workmanship is on the inside. We're His workmanship created. This is not an overhaul. This is creation.
That's right.
Amen.
Right. Created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. That's how God does work on you. That's how God does work on Moses. And oftentimes, bless your heart, that's an eye-opening experience. It really is. I remember one time, you read over in 2 Kings chapter 6, about a man by the name of Elisha. You know, Elisha was a great man in many ways, but he had to go through a lot. And Elisha was a man of God. That's what he's called, a man of God. If you'll turn over there, you'll find out that the Assyrian army had descended on the armies of Israel. They outnumbered them in a great way. But the man of God had foresight enough that he would tell the Israelite army what was going to happen. If the army was of the Assyrians was going to be here, the man of God would tell them, go the other way. And I'm going to tell you, this frustrated the king, the general of the Syrian army. He was mad. He was mad. And he thought somebody in his own army was a spy that was helping the enemy. He got all his generals and his captains together, and he said, who in here is for the king of Israel? They said, none, master. We're all for you, but there's a man of God down yonder, Dothan. He tells you what even you're thinking in the bedchamber. That's scary, isn't it? He said he knows what you're thinking when you're in the bed. He said, where's he at? He said, down yonder, Dothan. He said, go and fetch him. Go and fetch him from Dothan. That night, he sent chariots and horses and his whole army down there, and he surrounded the city. And when the servant got up the next morning, that little boy, he looked out the window, and all he could see was the campfires of the enemy, the horses and the chariots. And he turned around to Elisha, and he said, master, how shall we do? That's exactly what it said. Yeah. What are we going to do, master? They outnumber us in such a way there is no hope. Do you know what Elisha said to that boy?
Yeah.
Fear not.
Yes.
That's a hard pill to swallow. Fear not. Fear not. He said, why? He said, because they that be with us are more than they that be with them.
Right.
Let me tell you, that's a hard thing for that boy to understand, because he looked around and all it was him and Elisha, and that made two. That made two, the best you could do. And then the horses and the chariots were out there. But you know what the Bible says? The Lord said Elisha said to the Lord, said, Lord, open his eyes. And he opened his eyes and he looked again. You know what he saw?
Yes,
the whole mountain was full of chariots and of fire and horses that surrounded the identical place at Dothan where Elisha was. And I'll tell you, that's a long story to go through, but the Lord smote the enemy in so many ways. But he said, they that be with us are more than they that be with them.
Amen.
And the Lord opened his eyes, and then he saw the real thing.
Yeah.
And I want to tell you something, brother, when the Lord opens your eyes, it's going to make a difference.
Amen.
It's going to make a difference, yes, sir. Then you'll understand what Paul meant when he said, if God be for us, who can be against us?
Yeah.
You'll understand that then.
Amen.
You'll know what he meant.
Amen.
He says here, he said, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art Christ, the Son of the living God. Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, For flesh and blood is not revealed unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. You see, the revealing power of God comes down upon the child of God. I used to think, if you'll give me 15 minutes, I'll make anybody a primitive Baptist. That's all it'll take me, 15 minutes. I come find out, brethren, that everybody wasn't interested in what I had to say. I'll tell you that right now. They just wasn't interested in it. No, sir. They sure wasn't. For the simple reason, somebody said, well, I don't like election because it cuts too many people out. Let me tell you something, my friend. Election don't cut nobody out. That's what cuts you in. That's what cuts you in. It doesn't cut anybody out. That's the only hope you've got to be cut in.
Amen. Yeah.
And here, when that eye-opening experience is yours to enjoy, I want to tell you, then you're going to see some things like that boy did over there in the day of Elisha when he said, Lord, open his eyes, and then he saw the real thing.
Amen.
Yeah.
Flesh and blood had not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. Time's gone away. I've got to hurry along. And I say also unto thee, now he's still talking to one man, the Apostle Peter. And I say unto thee, thou art Peter. And upon this rock, not on Peter now.
Right.
And upon this rock, I will build my ecclesia. I will build my church.
Yeah.
I will build my church. In the singular, not in the plural.
Amen.
In the singular. Upon this rock I'll build my church. Upon what rock? Peter, that man said, Lord, though all men forsake you, I'll go with thee to prison, even unto death. And then got up public and cursed and swore he never knew the man. Is that the man he built the church on? Is that the man he built the church on when the Lord told him to go out and preach? He went fishing and forgot about it for a season. Is that the man he built the church on? You've got more sense than that. But he built the church on the same revelation that Peter had. The rock of revelation.
That's right.
You hear? Amen. All right. Let's go a little further.
Right.
I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build or construct my church, and the gates of hell shall not. Didn't say may not. The gates of hell shall not.
Amen.
Prevailed against it.
Amen.
Now there at Caesarea Philippi, there were springs. And the idea that the Pharisees and the Sadducees had in that day was that beneath that water was the underworld. I don't believe hell's got a lot of gates to it, do you? You know, I don't believe it's just opening up gates everywhere. But you know what they call that underworld down there in Caesarea Philippi? The gates of hell. The gates of hell. Now, he said the gates of hell where the pagan gods were. The pagan gods is not over going to come to the church. Brother, I'm going to tell you right now that our little churches, some of them are just barely hanging on. I want to tell you, let's be real about it today. Let's be real about it. I'm not up here to bring you some kind of story about a fantasy somewhere. It's a struggle for many of our little churches today, scattered around the country. Most of them are in a deep state of decline. Most of them are. I'm saying this, but I want to tell you right now, as long as time lasts and you remember this, that God, that the church that Jesus built will be somewhere here in the world.
Amen.
The gospel that is instituted in that church shall be preached in the world as long as time lasts. And when the last day comes, I want to tell you right there, they won't be any more days after the last day. And when the last day comes, that day, then preaching's going to cease. Then all our worldly activity is going to cease. But I want to tell you one thing, the presence of Christ cannot and will not cease.
Amen.
Why? Because he is just as eternal as his Father and the pilgrims of Zion who are in him, who have been made his workmanship. The pilgrims of Zion, those who are embodied in him and have been baptized by one spirit into one body, they by that element have been placed in him. And because of that today, you're just as sure for heaven as the sun comes up in the morning if the Lord delays his coming.
Yeah. Right.
Somebody said, you believe once saved, always saved. I sure do. That's what you want to call it. Plain language, yes, I do. If you ain't got it, you can't get it. But if you've got it, you can't lose it, thank God. You know, that's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying, and that's something today. You know, so many people have the idea that that the salvation's a progressive work. The way it works is that you repent, believe, be baptized, successfully outrun the devil till you die, and everything's going to be all right. Brother, I ain't got a chance.
Right.
It's over. It's over.
Amen.
But I'll tell you, God don't do business on a change system, does he?
Amen.
God doesn't do business on a change system. Well, how does God do business? He does according to purpose.
Amen.
The intent of God before the world began was to save his people from their sins. And I want to tell you something tonight, my friend. That intent was set in motion before the world began. And that intent will culminate when all the body of Christ, that eternal church, where all of God's children are a member, shall be delivered up to the Father.
Yeah, that's right.
When he shall have delivered up the kingdom.
Yes, that's
delivered
right.
Up the kingdom.
Yes, sir.
That's what he's saying. I've got to hurry along. And I say unto thee that thou art Peter, upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee, still talking to Peter now, I'll give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. The word keys here means authority. Peter had the authority from God Almighty to carry the gospel and open the eyes of the nation of Israel. You remember his first commission was, go ye not the way of the Gentile, but go ye rather the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as ye go, preach, say, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. That's the first commission, first gospel commission you'll find in the New Testament.
Amen.
Matthew chapter 10, if you want to read it, it's right there. And as he sent them to preach, he forbid them to go among the Gentiles. But I want to tell you something, that there came a time when old brother Peter was going to get converted. I didn't say born again, I said converted.
Right.
There's a big difference in being born again and being converted. You remember the Bible said in Luke 22:32, the Bible tells me, and the Lord talking to Peter, he said, Simon, Simon, Satan had desired that he may sift thee as wheat. But I prayed for thee. This man prayed as wonderful a prayer a while ago as I've heard in my life. But wouldn't it be wonderful to know that Jesus was praying for him?
Amen.
Right. Knowing that Jesus was praying for him.
Yes.
He said, I prayed for you, Simon. I pray for thee that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. So there was going to come a time when Brother Peter was going to be converted. Converted how? He was going to be converted to the knowledge that God had a people among the Gentiles. That happened in the 10th chapter of the book of Acts.
Right. Amen.
That happened in the 10th chapter of the book of Acts. And here, he's given the authority from heaven above. And I say unto thee that thou art Peter upon this rock. And I'll give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. He was going to unlock a mystery to the Gentile nations that had been kept secret since the world began. Go with me to the book of Ephesians chapter 3 and listen to this. I've got 6 minutes. Listen to what he says. I've got too much laid out here and I can't get to it, but bless God, some of you boys can after a while. All right. He says this, beginning chapter 3, and let's begin with verse 1. For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles. All right, now what is he saying here? He says he's a prisoner. Chapter 4 says he's a prisoner. I want to tell you he was a prisoner. Let me tell you something. Every prison is not made up of iron bars and concrete walls.
That's right.
There are some folks that are prisoner to alcohol. There are some folks that are prisoners to drugs. And there are some folks that are prisoners to their religion.
Yeah.
And thank God they need saving from it. They need deliverance from it because it's a yoke that they cannot bear.
Right.
It's a yoke that they cannot bear. Listen now to the beginning of verse 8. He says, unto me who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ? Listen to Romans 11 and 28 when he says, oh, the depth and the riches both of knowledge and the wisdom of God, how unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, or who has been his counselor? When he says this, he says that to preach the unsearchable riches of Christ and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God who created all things by Jesus Christ. Why? To this intent. For this purpose. Listen now. It's going to be the most important thing I say. To the intent that now under the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church.
That's right. Yeah.
The manifold wisdom of God.
Yeah.
Did it say the church had to make it known? No, sir. It was made known to the church.
Right.
Don't
right.
turn it around.
Right.
Church wasn't obligated to make it known. God made it known to the church.
Yeah.
All right? Now listen to what he said. To make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God who created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent that now under the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold. You country mechanics know what a manifold is. It's like this. It begins at many points and comes down to one point. Or it may go from one point to many points. But that's the manifold. That's what it means. The manifold, the many directions of the wisdom, the manifold wisdom of God. Why? It just happened. According to the eternal purpose. You get that. And I mean get it good. This happened according to the eternal purpose of God.
Amen.
Which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him.
Amen.
I tell you right now, you know how you got faith today? You didn't get it by walking down the aisle while I was singing the fourth verse of Just As I Am. You didn't get it because you gave yourself to the Lord. Let the Lord have his way. I got news for you, my friend. The Lord's going to have his way.
Amen.
You hear me? I don't care what you think, what you say, the Lord's going to have his way. His way, you see?
Right.
Now, he says here, he says this, he says, in whom we have boldness. We have a holy boldness. Why? Because of the faith, because of the faith of him. The faith of him. Now, you've got faith. Why have you got faith today? Because God has faith.
Right.
God can't give something he doesn't possess.
That's right.
If you've got faith, God possesses faith. He gives you faith. Somebody said, I didn't know God had faith. Well, if you read your Bible, you'd known it.
Amen.
Amen.
Romans chapter 3, verse 1 says this. What advantage hath the Jew?
Yeah.
What's the advantage the Jew got? Paul knew.
Yeah.
He said much in every way. They've got a lot of advantages. But chiefly, or mainly, because God had given them his oracles, the oracles of God, their possession of the laws of the oracles of God. Israel is the only nation that God ever gave a law. He never gave a law to the Hittite, the Amorite, the Perizzite, or any otherite,
right,
except the Israelite. God gave them a law. The only nation that God ever gave a law. All right? Now, if that's true, and I affirm that it is, then he said, for what if some did not believe?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, now, what if some did not believe? That's the question. Shall their unbelief make the faith or faithfulness of God without effect? God forbid. Didn't matter what you believe. You can believe it or not believe it. I want you to believe it. That's the reason I'm here. I've got to go in the morning 350 miles south of here, back to Alabama. Everybody's knocking down my door wanting something, all right? I don't want to go. I'm just stepping here with y'all to tell you the truth.
Yes,
sir. I want to tell you one thing, brother, that the Bible tells me that the Jew had an advantage, but what if some of them didn't believe? And they didn't. Shall their unbelief make the faith of God without effect? God forbid.
Right.
If everybody believes it or nobody believes it, God's faith is still real.
Amen.
If everybody believes it, doesn't change a thing. You know, two men came and preached that the resurrection was past already, didn't it? Hymenaeus and Philetus came and they said the resurrection was past already. What happened? Overthrew the faith of some.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, if that's talking about God's faith, we got problems. Mine and your faith can be overthrown. God's faith cannot be overthrown.
Amen.
You see, that's the reason we can say He is faithful in every degree.
Yes.
He's faithful in every principle and every part of His character. And did you know that when the Bible says, what if some did not believe, shall their unbelief make the faith of God not effect? Those men came and preached that the resurrection was past already and overthrew the faith of some. But you know what the Bible said in 2 Timothy 2:19? Nevertheless. I like that. I got a sermon I preach on nevertheless.
Right.
Nevertheless, what? The foundation of God stand assured, having this seal.
Right.
This seal. You know, I'm a notary public. I can stamp a document, it's got my name on it. It expires. But it's a legal stamp that will stand up in any court. And I want to tell you, you've been legally stamped today.
Amen.
You have been legally stamped by the faith of God.
Amen.
You've been legally stamped by the faithfulness of God. You've been legally stamped and declared without sin before a righteous and holy God who demands perfection.
Thank you. Amen.
I got... Give me just a minute. Here we go. I'll give unto thee the keys of the kingdom, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. What's he saying? He says, you are possessed with a heavenly authority. Whatever you say is forbidden, and it is heaven sanctioned. Whatever you say is permitted, it is permitted. And it is heaven sanctioned.
Right.
And I say to you today, with that authority, you and I have that today. We have their message today in this 66 books of the Bible.
Amen.
Right here.
Right.
Now, there are all kinds of Bibles out there. And I use an authorized 1611 King James Bible. That's what I... You know they're hard to find?
Yeah. Yeah.
At times, they really are. I was in Barnes & Noble bookstore in Birmingham here a while back, and I started looking for one. I said, I need a King James Bible. I need one I could see. My eyes not what they used to be. I need the big print Bible. He said, oh, I got just what you want. Here it is right here. You know, look, he wasn't even close. You know, he didn't know what he was looking for. I mean, I did, but he didn't. And then while I was over there, I started looking through. Well, here is a handbook of denominations. Handbook of denominations. Well, what did I do? Inquired minds want to know. You know, I flipped over. I looked back at the glossary back there. And it's Primitive Baptist. There they are right there. Primitive Baptist. I looked, turned over there to the page where it was. You know what that thing said? It said, Primitive Baptists are the most orthodox of all Baptists. I like to shout it right there in the aisle. Primitive Baptists are the most orthodox of all Baptists. They are Calvinistic in their belief. Their services are simple. Their preachers are not seminary trained. Amen and amen. And it went on and described us to a jot and to a tittle and got right down to the end of it and said, their headquarters is in Thornton, Arkansas. Well, I want to tell you something, brother. The headquarters is not in Thornton, Arkansas. Hear me? The headquarters is not Cincinnati, Ohio. The headquarters in heaven. The headquarters is there. That's where the head of the church is. When you separate a man's head from his body, both parts will die. But when Jesus died, the head was separated from the body, and both of them still living today.
Amen.
The head's in heaven and the body's in the earth. I've got to quit. And I'm not through. Thank God I've got more left I had when I started. And I tell you right tonight, brother, that if these things make sense to you, if these things cheer your soul, that's what it takes to have a revival. You know, I'm not afraid of that term. God knows we need a revival, don't we? We need a revival. We need a stirring up of fellowship one toward another. And thank God today that a few days out of the year we can have a spring-like visit when God comes down and waters His plantation and the fruits begin to bear and we begin to see the plants grow. And thank God today I can leave here and go back to Alabama tomorrow and I can cross the line going to Alabama. And I'm going to tell you right now, the truth was up here at Sandy Branch. And I'm going to tell you the same truth across the line down there. Same one. Now I'll tell you, I'm happy about it. I'm happy about it. You know, I'm getting to be an old man, but I'll tell you right now, the truth I preach is just as new as it ever was. The truth is new every time that I preach it. And when I hear you preach it, thank God for it. May the truth sanction what I've said. May you believe the truth. May you act on the truth. And thank God by the truth and set it not. That's Bible for you. You know what he said, buy the truth. How do you buy it? You know, come ye to the waters, buy ye without money and without price. How do you get it, brother? You get it by the sacrificial offering of yourself. May God bless you is my prayer. I'm not through, but I've got to quit. May God bless you. Thank you again for your kindness to me. And I've enjoyed preaching tonight as much as I ever have. May God bless you is my prayer. Brother Josh.
Praise the Lord.